Killian's speech?
Killian's speech was great.
I know that he said that he wanted to dedicate his award to the peacemakers, because I did read that.
I don't remember exactly what he said.
Well, that was like one of the little quotes in the little pop-up. It was like pop-up video. It was like Apple was texting me all night. But they were just doing like, where is it? Oh, I wish that they had it. Like it would be a different color in the banner if it was a major award. You know, it was gold. Duh. Mm-hmm. And then they would do like one little quote of their speech after that. Like it would just pop up. And then after that, they would be like, let's break for a commercial. One of them was, we just came back and there's a lot of Kennergy on stage.
Let me tell you, I know that you're not as hyped on that movie as most other people are, but that performance was fun.
Well, because Ryan Gosling gives everything he does 150%, yeah. You know? And I think it was like everybody, right? It wasn't Simu Liu there too?
Simu Liu was in it. Shuri Gatwa was there. Like, yeah, he had a bunch of the other
Kens
there.
Was Michael Cera there?
I didn't see Michael Cera.
Ah, he should have been there.
I forgot about
that. Just had Alan. Just like, was Weird Barbie there?
Well, Kate McKinnon presented.
As Weird Barbie?
No, not as Weird Barbie.
Because she was my favorite character.
No, it was her and America Ferrera presented together.
Oh, okay.
And they were pretty fun. I adore Kate McKinnon. She was pretty funny during her presenting, too.
She's always funny.
She's so damn funny.
She's always funny.
Yeah. she was just so fun. There were a lot of great moments from the Oscars.
I have to look. I want to look at when we're done. I want to see Killian's speech for sure.
Okay.
Just because I love him and he never, ever, ever like gives interviews or anything. Like he hates all this press stuff. So I think that he like goes there, but he doesn't really talk.
Yeah.
So I just want to listen to him.
Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger came out and presented together
because
they were teasing this reunion that was supposed to be happening. They were just teasing like a reunion of two characters, and they kept showing them from behind, and everybody was trying to figure out who they were. And then when they came out, it was like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense because now we can see it. And they sat there and they were like, we're presenting together for a very obvious reason, because they were in the movie Twins together. And they like, he's like, well, like we're out here. They put us together for a very obvious reason. We both got our asses kicked by Batman.
This is true.
And DeVito turns to Schwarzenegger and he's like, how did he defeat you? And he's like, he defeated me by exploiting the one thing that I cared about the most. He's like, I played Mr. Freeze and he exploited me by the one thing I cared about the most, or that hurt me the most. And DeVito's like, heat? He's like, no, love. Because he was doing it for his wife in the movie.
Right.
And then DeVito goes, he threw me through a damn window. And then he turns and he's like, and then Keaton is sitting in the front row, who played Batman for DeVito.
Yeah. He's my favorite Batman.
Yeah. And then, so they turned to Keaton and the camera turned to Keaton, and Keaton just has like this stern Bruce Wayne look on his face the whole time. It was pretty damn
awesome.
Funny.
I would love it if they did something with all the Batmans one year. But well, Christian Bale is just such a stick in the mud. He'd never do anything.
Well, I did like, it was something new that they had done this year for best actor, actress supporting, and supporting actress. It wasn't one presenter, it was five. And they were all former winners.
I thought that was such a good idea.
Yeah. And so, like, it was so great seeing Ki-Hui Kwan back up there again, seeing Brendan Fraser from last year, seeing Michelle Yeoh. Like, they were all.
Yeah.
And then each one of them gave like the little blurb about one of the nominees.
Yeah, that's
so Sam
cool.
Rockwell was the one that did the blurb for Robert Downey.
Oh, that's perfect.
So Iron Man got introduced by Justin Hammer.
I love it.
Which is great.
See, he's Zaphod Beeblebrox.
Well, of course.
Forever.
Well, see, that's him for you. For me, he's Guy Fleckman from Galaxy Quest.
Oh my gosh, he was in Galaxy Quest.
Yes, he was.
He was also in Charlie's Angels.
Yes, he was. I love Sam Rockwell.
I do too. I don't think you need that to watch Argyle. Cool stuff.
You need to watch Argyle.
All right.
He's a lead in Argyle. It's too new to give it to you for swap. You should just watch it.
I know. Yeah. I just if I'm going to go back to the theaters, it's going to be to go see Dune again.
Well, you don't have to go to theaters because Argyle's on streaming.
But oh, perfect. Perfect. But I just want I want the theaters to re-release the first Dune and pair it with the second Dune and give me like 30 minutes in between each movie to pee, to order some food, to get comfy, like make a whole thing of it.
Give it time. They'll do it.
But like because Dune didn't get a fair shake in the theaters because it was COVID. It came out in 2020 and and all the theaters were closed. So I feel like there's a huge chunk of us, and I'm included in that, that really want to see it in a theater.
Like I said, give it time. They'll do it. I have no doubt in my mind at some point they'll do it.
Okay. I'll believe you.
But speaking of the Oscars, the movie you gave me had a number of nominees from this year.
I know. There's two. One of them's a winner.
Yeah, one of them is a winner with Robert Downey.
You're talking about Zodiac.
Talking about Zodiac. That's the movie that you gave me.
Did you like it?
All right, so yeah, let's just dive into it then. I'll go first with
Welcome to Swap. Here we go.
another episode of Movie Swap. Every episode we do of this podcast just starts with banter. We don't do any intro for this podcast. We keep it as casual as possible. People listen and know what they're listening to.
Well, what's really funny to me though is that we started this because we talk so much before the Revisited, and now we're doing it again with this one.
Yep. But no, so you gave me Zodiac from 2007, directed by David Fincher with Jake Gyllenhaal, Robert Downey Jr., Mark Ruffalo, Brian Cox, Anthony Edwards. This movie had a cast.
Even the smaller parts, like little ones were still like character actors, like well-known character actors.
Yeah. John Carroll Lynch, who played Arthur Lee Allen. John Terry, as I mentioned, Christian Shepherd from Lost, played Charles, Dermot Mulroney, June Diane Raphael, Donald Logue, who I've moderated for Donald Logue before. So So there's somebody in this movie I've actually met.
Jill worked his booth, I think, last year at Rhode Island Comic Con.
Not last year.
Or 2 years ago.
Yeah, she was with Brandon Ralph last year. So, it might have been 3 years ago because last year
she was. Or maybe she had him like nearby or something. I'm mixing it up.
Maybe because the year before she was with Barry from Friends. Oh my God. Why can't I think of it? I'm friends with him on like we message each other on Instagram.
Isn't his name Barry?
No, his name's not Barry.
His name is Barry. He looks like a Barry.
He's one of the other Utes from My Cousin Vinny. Did you know that?
I do now.
Yeah, Mitchell Whitfield. He's the other one with
Ralph Macchio. Gosh. I see it. Oh, that's crazy. Anyways, did you like Zodiac?
So I told you a little bit about this yesterday when we were recording. I didn't realize this movie is 2 hours and 50 minutes long.
Okay, but I also didn't realize that because I watched it such a long time ago, and I remember thinking to myself, I was so engrossed in it that I don't even think I remembered it being long, if that makes any sense.
I did enjoy it. I actually really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
I thought Gyllenhaal was fantastic. I thought Robert Downey, man, come on, like there's a reason why he finally won an Oscar this year.
He's so good.
I'll tell you who I really liked was Ruffalo.
Yeah, Ruffalo's amazing.
Ruffalo's fantastic in this movie.
So I just wanted to say before you get into it, I wrote down because I had this like, I was laughing to myself the other night. I said, Iron Man and Mysterio team up to crack a case. Hulk and Goose are on the trail.
I've thought about that too. I was like, there are three Marvel people leading this movie.
Crazy, I know.
Well, you know this, and I've looked at the timeline. This is the last movie Downey did before becoming Tony Stark.
Yeah, it was 07, and then he was Tony Stark in 09.
08, I think. Okay. Either 08 or 09.
So he was doing his indie film before he became a big action star.
I guess that's the way to put it. But yeah,
this little star-studded, jam-packed David Fincher indie film.
Yeah, he did Zodiac in 2007. Then he did a couple smaller things. He did Lucky You and Charlie Bartlett, and then he did Iron Man in 2008.
Yeah, that was one of the, that was one of the first dates that Dave and I had was.
Zodiac?
No, Iron Man.
I was like, Jesus.
No, Iron Man. I'll never forget it because we're watching the movie and I was like, wow, that was really good, blah, blah, blah. And Dave laid out the entire Marvel plan for me in that theater. And he told me what they were hoping to do with the movie Iron Man, with the phases and the heroes and how they were all going to come together and da, da, da. And I remember clear as day this conversation that we had with each other, and it happened.
Well, like, by the time Iron Man had come out, they had planned through the first Avengers movie.
Yeah, but to me, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And I thought
Look how far they've come since.
Right. But I thought that was so fun.
Oh.
What a fun idea. I couldn't wait. Like, that's what we need, right?
Oh,
we
I was the same way. Like, I know we're already off Zodiac and onto like Marvel for some reason. But yeah, I remember seeing Iron Man in theaters and being like, wait a minute. So you mean to tell me we're also going to get, I would like, and after realizing how good Iron Man was.
Right. Like, exactly.
Like going home and realizing, so wait, you mean to tell me now we're also going to get a Captain America, a Thor, and a Hulk movie?
Right. Yeah.
And then they're going to bring them all together?
Right.
Like, I'm like, okay, like, this is my glory.
But only if Iron Man works.
Well,
only if Iron Man works, right? And at that time, Robert Downey Jr. wasn't Robert Downey Jr. that we know today. And
Favreau took a big chance.
Huge chance.
And he had to pitch it to the studio.
Yeah. This was they had to get this movie right. And it only shows how good, and the point I'm trying to make is it shows how amazing Robert Downey Jr. is. I mean, as we record this, he won Best Supporting Actor last night, his first win ever. And he's been amazing. Third nomination, right? First win. But he did this movie, Zodiac, right before he was Iron Man, proving that, and you just saw it, I've seen it. It proves what an incredible actor he is.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, going back even further in his career, like he even kind of jokes about it during his speech, when he won the Oscar about like, he thanked his entertainment lawyer who he's had for a long time and half the time was trying to like keep him out of trouble.
Yeah.
And I remember going back to the movie Air America with Mel Gibson. This is going back, God, early 90s, I think. Mel went to bat for him. Like, his career was basically over at that point because of drugs and everything else that all the trouble he was getting into. And I'm trying to look and see exactly when it was. Maybe it's 80s. No, it was 1990. All he was getting was like these minor roles. Mm-hmm. He wasn't getting any leading roles. And then Air America came out and Mel Gibson went to bat for him and said, like, I feel like he needs a second chance.
Yeah.
And he got the lead with Mel and it kind of reinvigorated it. After that, mm-hmm. he did Soap Dish. He was the lead in Chaplin.
He was so good in Chaplin.
He's great in Chaplin. You know, he was in a bunch of really big movies.
He was in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, wasn't he?
Yeah, but that was actually right before Zodiac.
Okay.
That was a couple years before Zodiac.
Seven Heads in a Duffel Bag.
And you're probably right. I just don't
remember. Do you know what movie I'm talking about?
I don't see it listed on his thing, so I don't think that's him. I could be wrong. Let me see. Two Guys and a Girl. That has nothing to do with it. No, he wasn't in that Duffel Bag movie. Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag. I remember what Eight movie you're talking about. Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag. That was Joe Pesci.
I am not mixing up Joe Pesci and Robert Downey Jr.
I'm not
you
saying
shut your you, mouth. Are you kidding me? No.
I'm not saying you are, but that was a Joe Pesci movie.
Are you sure?
Yes. Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag, because I remember the poster. Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag. I'll confirm it right now. Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag was... Come on, load faster.
It was not.
Yes, it was. I'm looking at it right now.
Nah, it was you're wrong.
It was Joe Pesci, Christy Swanson, George Hamilton, Andy Como, and definitely not Robert Downey Jr. David Spade was in that movie too, apparently. No, but I mean, you know, not just focusing on Downey for Zodiac. I really loved Ruffalo in that movie as the inspector that was working with Jake Gyllenhaal's character.
Yeah.
And the fun part was, like, I know it was based on a true story. I know the background of the Zodiac Killer. Like, I know it's still to this day one of the biggest unsolved.
Yeah. It's like Jack the Ripper.
Yeah. I know. But the whole time I'm so engrossed in this movie, I'm like, oh, I hope they catch him.
Right. I know. And Jake Gyllenhaal. Let's not forget about him because I think this is one of his better roles. He is just so determined and follows him so doggedly that you really believe that he's going to catch him. And then that ending, I don't know, like that ending sent chills up and down my spine. Like it was creepy.
When he sees him in the hardware store?
No, when he's in the basement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, that wasn't the ending. That was close to the end, but that wasn't the ending.
Oh, well, that's I think that maybe I blacked out after that because that was just really creepy. Because
the ending takes place a number of years later when Gyllenhaal walks into the hardware store and he sees Arthur Lee Allen working the counter.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they kind of like they recognize each other.
Uh-huh. Oh, gosh.
Like, you know, and like movies that are based on true stories, like when you look into it too, what's the other movie? There was a movie that Johnny Depp did where he played an infamous mobster.
Oh,
It's Black something.
Yep. It was good. I love that.
It's so good. And it got me engrossed.
In like true crime?
In that character. Oh, and okay. And I wasn't too familiar with that character as I was with the Zodiac Killer. And then I went back and read into Black Mass. That's it. He played Whitey Bulger. And
that was so good. I love that movie.
It was a great movie. It was a great role for Johnny Depp. And then I remember going home and looking into that character. I'm like, wait a minute, this dude's still at large? Because he was at the time. Mm. He's since been caught and I think has since died. But at the time that movie came out, Whitey Bulger was still a fugitive. And I remember like that freaking me out. Like this dude is still out there and he's probably watching a movie about himself.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally. Maybe he was probably the secret consultant.
Maybe. But you know, going back to Zodiac, like, yeah, like it was, I was so engrossed in it. And maybe it's because I've been watching a lot of CSI. Yeah. But I was like, oh, I really hope they catch this guy by the end. Never, like, realizing I know the true story.
Right,
like,
right,
they
right.
Never caught him.
Yeah, but, you know, he probably did.
Oh, if the movie did a great job in convincing me that it was Arthur Lee Allen.
Right.
And I think there's even, I think the movie sets it up in like the whole text at the end that they were actually ready to actually pursue charges against him for being the Zodiac killer, and that he died like a week before they were going to do it.
You know, if
so this dude got away with it.
Of course he did. And what stinks is that it's just, if he died, where are his trophies?
Well, he didn't take trophies, did he?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he has to have something. He has to have something, right? He's not just kill him and walk away. He has to have something that makes him remember, right? I mean, isn't that like the whole serial killer shtick?
Well, he had his theatrics by leaving the notes and the letters and calling and
right.
That was his signature.
Right.
That was what made him so famous.
That's where he got his high.
Because he only killed 5 people.
Yeah.
That they know of.
Right.
They think he's taken credit for others, but I think they've since proved that he didn't do the other ones that he took credit for. They know for sure there were 5.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, his trophies were in the form of the codes that he left behind and playing with everybody. Like, it was a game.
Yeah. Cause they're all crazy.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
But it was really good. There were a lot of familiar faces in the
movie. Did it feel like it was almost 3 hours?
No. It really didn't.
So my memory of it is okay. Like,
yeah.
If you didn't know that it was 2 hours and 46 minutes, would you like look back and be like, this is a long movie?
If I didn't look at the running time, I probably would have forgotten by the end. It's very similar to Oppenheimer. Like, Oppenheimer is 3 hours and it does not feel like it's 3 hours.
No, I wanted half an hour more.
It didn't feel like 3 hours at all.
I gotta see that movie again.
I do too. I was thinking about it last night. I'm like, I need to rewatch Oppenheimer.
I love how Robert Downey Jr.'s story ends.
Oh, in the movie.
Yeah.
Senator's story.
Right. Yes.
There's just, I mean, I know we're going back to other movies from Robert
Sorry.
Downey.
Sorry. Well, the Oscars were last night too, so it's kind of hard.
Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, there are so many great stories that came out of Oppenheimer. Like the fact that there's so many interesting behind the scenes things from that, from Downey saying during his speech that it was a movie he needed, mm-hmm. not Christopher Nolan. But, you know, then there's Matt Damon's story where he was actually ready to take a break and said the only way he wouldn't is if he got a call from Christopher Nolan. And then he got a call from Christopher Nolan.
Cillian Murphy was shocked when Christopher Nolan wanted him to play Oppenheimer.
Well, and then Ben
Kingsley.
He had
never been a lead before.
And Ben Kingsley said during his presentation of it is that he took the role sight unseen. He never read the script before taking the role.
That's insane. How about that? How about that?
Ballsy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He.
Well, how about the, I learned last night with my, you know, pop-up app, Apple Video, that when they won cinematography, that they had to invent the black and white film to film in IMAX because it didn't exist.
Well, and have you seen pictures of the reel?
No.
Pictures of the IMAX reel? It's ridiculous. I'll see if I can find them. They actually had to install new projectors in a number of IMAX theaters just to show Oppenheimer because of the weight of the reel. Like the film reel was miles long.
That's amazing.
It's crazy.
That movie was an opus.
But I mean, even the fact that there was no CGI in that movie, it's all practical effects.
I know. The movie is spectacular. It was, I mean, the minute I saw it, the minute you saw it, the minute we saw it, we were like, we're done. That's it. That's best picture. Everybody go home.
I went to the screening 2 weeks before it came out and I saw it on IMAX. And I remember walking out of that theater and being like, oh, this is sweeping the Oscars.
No, there's no, yeah. I mean, if you've seen that movie, you walk out and you're like, that was it. That was it.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is, I'm hit or miss on Nolan. This is a hit. And Nolan's going to win his first Oscar.
It was, yeah.
I told you the same thing. I remember having this conversation. I was like, Downey's going to win the Oscar.
When we did our Oppenheimer podcast.
Yep.
We're still talking about it because we love it so much.
It's that good.
Well, I'm glad that you got to watch Zodiac because I really do love that movie. And it was actually Jake Gyllenhaal that made me want to see the movie because I was watching him. Was watching him in an interview for something and just how excited he was about this movie and hearing him just talk about it made me want to see it.
Gyllenhaal's an actor who kind of wasn't on my radar until later. Like, I mean, he did a bunch of things, you know, like Donnie Darko and Bubble Boy. And, you know, he had done some, and Darko is great. But it wasn't until maybe the past decade that I've really started to gain attention for Gyllenhaal.
He's come into his own.
He really has. I mean, Ambulance was one of the movies I gave you for the last swap.
That was so weird to see him in a role like that.
And then I gave you the other movie. I didn't give it to you in a swap, but I recommended it to you, the one where he's the dispatcher that was recorded over COVID, where he's the 911 dispatcher.
I still haven't seen that.
Yeah, you need to watch that.
Okay.
I won't give it to you during swap because I already gave it to you. But it's
not to mention it would be a third week in a row of Gyllenhaal.
I know.
We'd call it our Gyllenhaal era.
The Guilty is the name of that one.
Okay.
But him and Hugh Jackman in Prisoners, that's a fantastic movie. He's gonna be Dalton in the new Roadhouse remake.
I don't know what those words mean.
You've never seen Roadhouse?
No. Oh. Is it an 80s movie?
Yeah, it's an 80s movie.
Uh-huh. You have your answer.
it's Patrick Swayze. I've never seen it, but I know people love Brokeback Mountain.
We could swap that right now.
No. No. We already said we're not doing another Gyllenhaal this week.
Brokeback Mountain is beautiful.
I've heard it's really good. It's
beautiful. Ugh,
and I have nothing against it. I just, for some reason, I just haven't watched it yet.
It's sad.
Well, and it's Ledger too, which I mean,
makes it worse.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But no, I really enjoyed it. I'm glad you gave me this one. Anything's better than Last Supper.
Shut up.
But no, I enjoyed it. So I recommend it. If people out there haven't seen it, I actually had a friend of mine, cause I posted on Facebook that I was watching it as podcast prep. And he's like, this is a good one. I'm like, yeah, I'm watching it for a podcast. And then he messaged again the other day. He's like, so what'd you think? I'm like, I can't say.
You're like, you gotta listen to my podcast.
I'm doing it for the podcast. He's like, well, you could at least tell me if you liked it or not. And I'm like, no, I can't. Can't say anything. That's the whole point of the podcast.
That's why we do it.
Yep. So turning
Baby
to
Driver.
Your movie,
okay,
then.
So I have to tell you something. I love this soundtrack so much.
Right,
this movie that
it's so good.
I had to grade. Oh my gosh, what I had to grade over the weekend was disgusting. I graded on Saturday. I graded. Did not stop for 7.5 hours. It was unbelievable how much I had to grade. And we had just watched Baby Driver the night before. And I was like, ooh, I wanna listen to some Baby Driver music, you know? And I put it on and like 2 hours just went bye-bye. It was amazing.
It is a fantastic soundtrack.
Oh, well, go ahead.
I was gonna say, and that's one of the things that that Edgar Wright does right.
Oh my gosh.
It's
This is a movie where I feel that you had to get the music right in order to establish the character.
Yes.
I wanted to love this movie. I really enjoyed it and I really liked it. But there was this weird point, and maybe it was on purpose, and maybe you can explain it to me and I'll have different feelings about it. But it seemed that the tone of the movie, like, split second changed. Like, there was this, we were leading up to something, and then like halfway through or something, the tone, the music, the care, everything gets super frenetic and like, everything is bananas.
Yeah, it's when everything
it's to the end.
It's kind of Edgar's style in that he does, like, everything is kind of like copacetic. Everything is moving along. Things are moving the way they should be with baby, and like, you know, he's earning money, and you know, he's taking care of his I believe it was his uncle.
Foster father.
Yeah. He's taking care of his foster father. He's met a girl, everything. And then there's a point where something happens and his world collapses.
Yeah.
And
his foster father was taken.
And everything, you know, kind of falls around that. And so the music has to go along with that. The cinematography has to go along with that. Like, Edgar Wright is a very emotional filmmaker.
Yeah, and I get that. It just felt like two different movies, and I think it was just a little too jarring. Because I mean, like, when you see, like if you see, like, Bullet Train, right? Bullet Train has a very big tonal shift right in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like it leads to that. You know,
there's a transition to it.
Yeah. This transition, it was just jarring, and maybe it was supposed to be, right? And maybe that's the way that I'll look back, because I'm going to see the movie again. I'll have that in mind the next time.
And I think that's just it, is that when things happen in your life and they take a turn, there's not always a transition to that. Sometimes it's very sudden.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how he projected it in the movie, is that it shit went down. And now it's just fucking nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wish that they had had more with the girl, because I liked the relationship that he had with the girl. And I don't think that there was enough of that up front for me to believe that they were going to, like, just drive off into the sunset together.
Oh, with Deb?
Yes.
Deborah.
Yes. Yeah. Deborah.
it's very easy to kind of get past, like I said, to kind of get past the spacey issue with the movie.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Yeah. But I mean, even
he plays an asshole.
And he's really good in the movie. It's kind of hard to deny that.
Kevin Spacey is amazing in everything he does. I mean, is he a shitty guy? Yeah. Yeah. He is. And it's disappointing and it's heartbreaking, because he was my favorite actor in the whole world. But holy shit, is he good in everything that he does?
Yeah. I'll tell you my favorite thing of this movie. And if you're a fan of Edgar Wright, like I am, and you've seen like some of his earlier stuff, like Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead and World's End and all that stuff.
That's the same filmmaker?
It's the same guy. Yeah.
See, I don't do any research on these movies, because we're just supposed to watch them and then talk. You know what I mean?
No, it's the same guy that did Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, and World's End.
That would have been good to know going in.
How would that have changed your opinion?
I would have expected a little crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have expected Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
I remember. So, speaking of that, there's a scene in Shaun of the Dead where, and you could tell, like, after seeing Baby Driver, you can kind of go back and look at this scene and be like, okay, he was testing the waters. There's a scene in Shaun of the Dead where the jukebox comes on and plays Don't Stop Me Now, and they're beating the bartender zombie, and it's all to the rhythm of the music.
Yeah.
This entire movie is to the rhythm of the soundtrack.
That is what I love about it so much. It's like, brilliant. You just feel that you are Baby.
Yeah.
It's
brilliantly done.
Miles.
Like, from the gunshots to the tapping fingers on a table.
Even like the way that he would just like move through the street and like bounce around. And then, yeah, there is a point where he turns around and he knocks into somebody and everything is fucked after that.
Yeah. It jars.
Yeah. Yep.
And even like, even in the, after the opening chase, which is amazing, by the way.
Oh my gosh. I just wanted to see him drive cars. Like every single time he was having conversation with someone, I'm like, can we do this in the car?
So before the movie opened in theaters, they released that opening scene. So as like an advance preview before the movie opened. And I remember I was already excited for the movie because I was already a big fan of Edgar Wright. And then I saw that. I watched that clip and I was like, holy shit, I need to see this movie. Like it's amazing. But then like the following scene with when he goes to get the coffee and he's walking down the street and it's all to the music, seeing the lyrics of the song like appearing in different places, like the street signs and graffiti on the wall. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's so well done.
Yeah, it was a really good movie and I liked it a lot. It was fun. I want to see it again.
There's rumor
definitely want to see it again.
There's rumor of a sequel.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
That would be fun if he did another one.
Now,
maybe.
Filmmaking aside and like the scenes aside, what about the cast? Because, I mean, we talked about Kevin Spacey already, but I want to say John Hamm is fantastic in this movie.
He was surprising.
It's a dark role for him.
Well, especially because you don't see it at the beginning.
No, it comes out of nowhere.
So when his wife said, you never want to see him angry, I was like, oh, we're going to see him angry at some point. And then he gets angry and he's really scary.
Well, it's because he lost his wife. He lost Darling. Well, she wasn't his wife. I think they were like in just a relationship. But
he kept calling her his wife.
Oh, did he? I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. But yeah, Eliza Gonzalez, who was actually the EMS driver in Ambulance.
That's different.
Yeah. So.
Oh, and I love the Mike Myers masks.
This is Michael Myers.
Sorry, I just pulled up the movie on IMDb.
Okay.
to help me with characters and stuff. Oh, duh, John Bernthal's in the movie.
Yes, he is.
Ah, that was like so cool. And then he's dead.
And then he's dead.
And I was so excited. I was like, yes, we're gonna get so much John Bernthal. Where'd he go?
Oh, yeah, he's not in it very long.
That's why I didn't love the movie. It was Jamie Foxx. Yes, I don't like him in things.
So you didn't like the character Bats, or you didn't like Jamie Foxx?
Both. Yeah. Yeah, both. He was just
a douchebag.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, from the start. Like, he doesn't make the transition like Buddy does. Like, Bats is from the start a douchebag.
Right. Yeah.
Like, to the point where you are happy he dies.
Well, especially since, like, he fucked up the whole plan. Like, everything he did was wrong.
Well, and
if I remember correctly.
And he was against Baby from the start.
Well, and he was also killing people.
Yes.
And I don't think that they were supposed to be killing people. I don't think so. These were smash and grabs.
Yeah.
And so I think that was the other thing, is that Baby didn't want to watch any of it and he had to back up to go get them. And he saw the dead person.
He saw the woman. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where, and then he crashed the car.
Which I think the theater cheered when I saw it in theaters.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was an epic death.
Yes, it was.
And it was so righteous.
But it's also the reason why Bats' death is also the reason why Buddy goes nuts, is because it changes the plan, and that's when Darling dies.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's when they're all running.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, and Darling gets shot by the police, and Buddy goes crazy.
Yeah.
That scene in the diner where Baby walks in and Buddy's sitting at the bar,
yes.
That is a tense scene.
Yes, it is. You know what? That was a fun movie. That was a really fun movie. I really enjoyed it.
I love John Hamm. I really, really like John Hamm.
Yeah, he's got range.
Yeah, he does.
He's got range. I love him in Parks and Rec in the like 4 minutes.
He's in like two scenes. If anybody wants to hang,
I'll be at Fridays.
I'll be at the Sizzler.
The Sizzler, that's what it is. I'll be at the Sizzler.
Yeah, he's got a lot of range, and I really, really like John Hamm.
Yeah, I like this whole movie, actually. I'm just looking at the cast one more time. Oh, that was the other one, was Flea.
He's the Michael Myers mask guy.
Yes.
This is Michael Myers.
Yeah. I love Flea. He's wonderful.
Yeah, he's...
Lucy does, too. Aurora does.
Yeah, but the whole cast, Ansel Elgort, John Bernthal, Lily James is beautiful. I was trying to think of something else I'd seen her in that I was a fan of, and I'm trying to remember what it was now.
Lily James?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, she's in Ironclaw? That's another reason to watch that movie.
Sure.
Oh, that's right. She was in Yesterday. That's the other movie I really like that she's in.
Oh, she was also Cinderella.
Yes, she was.
She was also in Mamma Mia.
And she's Pamela Anderson in Pam and Tommy with Sebastian Stan.
That's different. That's different from Mamma Mia.
Yeah, because I kept saying, I'm like, the actress playing Pamela Anderson should not be hotter than Pamela Anderson. But she was.
Well, that's so nice. Oh, I don't have any like super special movie to give you.
That's all right.
I'm going to have to be boring.
There's nothing. Sometimes boring can be really fun.
Well, no, I mean like boring as in like. I think I'm just going to give you John Wick 3.
That means I got to rewatch 1 and 2. That's okay.
Why?
I'll do it. Because it's been too long since I've had them.
Why?
Since I've seen them.
Has it?
It's been easily 2 or 3 years since I've seen 1 and 2.
You haven't updated your unwatched list. You haven't updated it at all.
I didn't feel the need, but I will.
Well, I work off of it.
Okay. Well, then I will update it. All right. I mean, you can give me John Wick 3. It's fine because it's been on my list for too long.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I'm going to rewatch the whole John Wick thing and just do all four.
I'm going to rewatch 1 and 2 and then I'll watch 3. So, because we do these with enough time that I can do that.
That's what I was going to say. Just watch 3 and 4.
I'm not going to do them both.
Okay.
We're only going to do one movie.
4 is long.
Is it?
It's another 3-hour movie.
Okay, I'm fine with that. But here's the thing.
If it's good, I'll watch a 3-hour movie.
Well, and that's the thing. So I'm going to rewatch 1 and 2, and then I'll watch 3 for this. And then I know that's just going to compel me to watch 4.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that it's going to be like, okay, I watched 1 and 2. I'm going to watch 3. And then as soon as I'm done 3, I'm going to be like, Kristen, we need to record swap. We need to record swap soon because I want to watch 4.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I'm not going to watch 4.
So when you start watching, you let me know, and then I'll know I'll have like 4 days.
Okay. All right. So that's fair. I'll do that. Okay. So then,
if you give me some '80s bullshit movie, I am just going to reach through the computer
Not going to give you that at all. I don't think you've seen this movie. I'm going to give you a movie called Hell or High Water.
I have not seen that.
It's from 2016. It's with Chris Pine. Not going to tell you the plot or anything like that. It's rated R, so not for the kids. And it's only 1 hour and 40. So it's not like I'm not giving you like a 3-hour-long movie. But this was a movie that I remember at the time. I got offered 2 movie screenings in the same theater on the same night. And I was like, well, I can't do both. Like, I got to pick one. And it was between Hell or High Water and I think one of like the huge, big budget, like Hercules or
Godzilla.
It wasn't Godzilla, but it was something involving like the gods and whatever. And I was like, you know what? Like, I watched the trailers for both and I'm like, you know what? Hell or High Water is definitely a smaller budget movie. But sometimes those can be really good. So I'm like, I'm gonna take Hell or High Water. And I went to the screening of Hell or High Water and I walked out of the theater being like, oh, I made the right choice.
Oh, good.
Because that big budget movie bombed.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Hold on. Let me see. What other movie came out?
Well, I'm excited. And you know what? I like Chris Pine, so that's good.
There's some other cast members in there too that you'll recognize, but I don't want to give too much away.
All right. Well, I gave you Keanu Reeves. You're welcome.
Yeah. And you gave me Chris Pine. So that is work. But this has also been a movie that's been on my list to rewatch for a while. So now I have the excuse to rewatch it again.
Yay.
That's always the fun part of doing these is I get to watch a movie I've never seen before and I get to rewatch a movie I've wanted to rewatch.
Yes. And I will. Yes. I do like that. So you're going to update your list. That's your homework. That's also your homework.
I will update my list. I will even add more movies to it. I will try.
Try. You will.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep. There you go. You get it.
But yeah, I think that's about it.
Yeah.
For this episode. We talked about both movies. We gave each other other movies. I think we're all
set. We liked each other's movies.
That's always a plus.
I think so.
That's always a plus. I mean, it doesn't always turn into absolutely hysterical conversations. Like
that was a really good one.
Three to Tango. Can I also say real quick on a sadder note that when they did the In Memoriam last night during the Oscars,
I didn't want to see it.
I held it together until I saw Matthew Perry. And then I got a little choked up.
Yeah.
There were a number of people omitted from it for some reason that weren't.
And Lance Reddick, right?
Lance Reddick was not in it.
What? Why?
Andre Brower was in it. Lance Reddick was not in it.
That's bull.
Yeah. There were a couple big names that weren't in it. So I don't know what the deal was. I don't know why. But I mean, Pee Wee Herman, like Paul Rubens was in it. Was.
Oh, okay.
Who were they? Names omitted from In Memoriam. There was like three big names. There was a couple. Lance Reddick. Yeah, there was Suzanne Summers. Lance Reddick, Trett Williams, and Norman Lear. Fucking Norman Lear. How do you forget Norman Lear? Like, he's one of the greatest television show creators of all time. I don't know. I don't know why they were left out, but...
Yeah, which is ridiculous, but it is what it is.
Did I see Olivia Newton? No, Olivia Newton-John was a couple years ago. So I know, Aurora. I'm mad they were left out too.
She's like, don't forget.
Anything final before we wrap this up?
Go see Dune Part 2.
Okay. And I will follow that up by saying watch Argylle on streaming. Because it's fun.
What? We should just give each other theater movies.
Argylle is not a theater movie. It's streaming.
Okay.
It's not in theaters anymore.
Ugh.
So I well, know
go I'm see Dune Part 2 anyways.
Okay.
It's so good.
All right. So before we head out, I'm just going to say, make sure you go check out the Revisited podcast over at revisitedpod.com. Kristen and I do as well together. We're about to wrap up season 2 of Ted Lasso. Also coming up on this podcast on Wilhelm, Christy Swanson, my panel with Christy Swanson from last year, and top 5 movies you'll never outgrow are also going to be coming up. And check out the Oscar episode we did that Paik and Brandy came on and did with me. That was a lot of fun because I got 7 out of 10, Brandy got 8 out of 10, and Paik predicted 9 out of 10.
Wow.
Everybody got this best
actress.
We all predicted Lily Gladstone taking that Oscar.
Was she that good?
She's really good in Killers of the Flower Moon.
Did you see Poor
Things?
Girls?
Yes.
Poor Things?
Yes.
And was Emma Stone amazing?
I was surprised she won, but I was not disappointed in the least.
Okay.
It's really good.
What is it about?
It's how to describe it. It's so basically, hold on. I want to see if there's actually a synopsis that will tell it better than I can. The incredible tale about the fantastical evolution of Bella Baxter, a young woman brought back to life by the brilliant and unorthodox scientist Dr. Goodwin Baxter. The scientist is Willem Dafoe. He's fantastic. Ruffalo is fantastic. She comes back to, she's brought back to life, but she has the mind of an infant in an adult's body.
Okay.
So she's somebody who lived and died, but is brought back to life and is brought back to life with the wonderment of a child. It's crazy. It's a crazy movie, but it's really good.
Okay. I really want to see it.
It's like 2 hours and 20 minutes too. It's lengthy.
Yeah, but if it's worth it, you won't notice.
True. Yeah, but it's really good. It's a great movie. But I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Movie Swap. Thank you guys for listening, for taking part. If you have any comments or remarks about any of the movies that we covered, any of them, because we talked about a lot of movies in this episode, feel free to leave feedback@wilhelmpodcast.com. But until next time, we'll see you on another episode of Wilhelm and the Movie Swap. Bye-bye.
Bye.